Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Thinking for Proper Behavior, Part 5, with the subtitle, Salvation Was, Is, and Ever Shall Be by Grace. Today we're going to finish up verses 10, 11, and 12, and next week get into the wherefore. Based upon these biblical truths that we have studied, and we're going to wrap up today, Peter says, now, let's do this. And you're going to see an overwhelming theme. He deals with attitude, attitude, attitude. Your attitude will determine your spiritual altitude. Remember that. We're going to be in verses 10 through 12 today. And I'd like to read our text verses for this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Peter writing to believers that were persecuted so badly they had to scatter, leave home. And now they have gone to a land where they suffer more. They're being persecuted there. And he is writing to these people. I want us, as we think about these verses, to consider the mindset of these scattered believers. That way we're going to better understand why Peter is saying what he is saying and how they're going to receive it. Too often, we impress upon other people our own thinking, and we don't take time to consider them and why they are feeling the way they are, why they are behaving and reacting as they are. First of all, they're scattered Jews. This is important to remember. Why? As we sit in this air-conditioned room, we're not thinking about the tremendous change that has just happened. Christ, not that many years before, was crucified, rose again, ascended into heaven. What happened to the Jewish system? It's put on hold. Daniel's 69th week is over. The 70th week is still somewhere out in the future. And this thing called a church age started. You don't think that was a shock to the Jewish community? We must not forget that as we read this passage. So here they are scattered, and the Jewish system is put on hold. But they don't understand it, because it's not going to be explained until Paul in the book of Ephesians. And when does Paul get saved? Acts chapter 9. There's a lot of confusion in there, and they didn't have the means of communication that we have today. So we have these scattered believers, Jewish, that are very confused, and they're suffering persecution. When Jesus Christ told the disciples in John 14 through 16, he admitted, I am speaking in Proverbs. And he told in veiled terms of the coming change, I'm going away, I'm going away, I'm going away. Another comforter is coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Spirit is coming. But he said, he admits it in John 16, I'm speaking in Proverbs. You don't understand. Consider Acts chapter 1, when Christ stood on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and he's ready to ascend into heaven. Consider what the disciples said to him. Look at it in your verses. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, the disciples, the ones who were with him for 3 years, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They had no idea of a church age. Here we are approximately 2,000 years later. So we must appreciate this mindset in these Jews. We're scattered and we're persecuted. We don't understand this church. What happened to the Jewish system? Are we part of the punishment? Am I doing something wrong? They didn't know. Not until Paul reveals this mystery, especially in the book of Ephesians, is the church age explained. So we must keep this in mind as we think about these scattered believers. They could be wondering, is this new religion, Jesus the Messiah, truth? Did we blow it? Have we fallen for some deception? Are we wrong? Were we deceived? You have to remember, too, what would happen to a Jew when they trust Jesus and recognize him as the Messiah. Many of their families would reject them. And so it is, as Peter is writing, this must be kept in mind. Peter, of course, a Jew. I know. Let me write to encourage you. You are suffering greatly, and these things are probably going through these people's minds. Do we not even have things go through our minds today when we suffer? Did I blow it? Was I wrong when I did this? Should I have done that? That's normal. And it's not bad that we would search ourselves. And Peter is going to offer them some comfort as they are going through this very, very difficult time of life. It's interesting now that Peter, in light of these mindsets, look what he says in verse 10. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets. He's going back to the Old Testament, the Jewish prophets. It's okay. This is an extension, if you will, of the Jewish system. It's a church. Yes, God has now left the Jewish system for a time. There's confusion. You don't understand. But this is what your prophets talked about. You were not deceived. They are now going to be carrying the torch. And we must think about these prophets and these scattered believers as they suffer, as they wonder. These prophets foretold the grace that would come, and what happened to the prophets in the Old Testament? Quite often the Jews rejected them and persecuted them. And so here they are receiving this writing from Peter. We're also promoting this Jesus, and we're suffering. You mean we're like those Old Testament prophets? Yeah, you're in good company when you stand for Jesus and you suffer. Israel looks back to those prophets with admiration, but those prophets in their day had it pretty rough. Persecuted, ostracized. Take a look at Matthew 23, 37. Jesus Christ is speaking. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. And this is what Peter is referencing. Do you remember the prophets? They foretold the Jesus that you worship. And stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings? You would not! This has got to be going through these Jews' minds as they're scattered and suffering. Our forefathers and the majority of Jewish people rejected Messiah and the prophets. Have we blown it too? And Peter writes this letter and he references the prophets. It's okay. They weren't the ones that were wrong. It was those miserable Pharisee hypocrites that led the nation astray. It was the hardness of your fathers. The common people also turned and would not accept the truth that God was presenting to them. Obviously, there was a remnant that still looked to God. But generally speaking, the nation of Israel rejected the prophets. And finally, when Jesus Christ came, he came to his own, and his own received him not. These Jews would be wondering about this new religion, Christianity. He's saying it's okay. That really is truth that they rejected. You are all right. Stay on the right path. He's encouraging them as they suffer, referring to the prophets. It's okay. There's a link between the Old Testament law, the prophets, the truth, the teachings, and this new Christianity. Consider that the Old Testament is filled with teachings of salvation and the work of Messiah that would come. Let's look at a few of these. Luke 24:44. And he said, Jesus Christ is speaking, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms all speak concerning Jesus Christ. Peter is bringing them back to that truth. It's okay. This Jesus that you worship, of this salvation through the Messiah to come that would be rejected and nailed to the cross, is the same Messiah that those prophets foretold. Take a look at Acts 17:2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and there 3 Sabbath days, listen to this, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That can't be the New Testament. Doesn't exist yet. Has to be the Old Testament. Paul is reasoning with the Jews there. Look at verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, Messiah. He is reasoning from the Old Testament. And now Peter is reminding these scattered, suffering Jews that are wondering about this new religion. And he says it's okay. Take a look at Hebrews 10:1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But the things of the law, the sacrifices, the priesthood, the building itself, and all therein, foretold of the salvation to come in Messiah. It was in Moses. It was in the prophets. It was in the Psalms. It's in the law. Peter is saying it's okay. This is what your prophets foretold. They were persecuted. You're in good company. You're persecuted too. Hang in there. The Old Testament salvation was indeed the same as the New Testament, is in essence what he's reminding them of. Just 2 simple ones here. Genesis 3:21, way back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve fell, they sinned, they took of the forbidden fruit, and Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. Think about the picture of the gospel there. How do you get a skin? You kill an innocent animal. Jesus Christ. Something else had to die and shed its blood to provide an adequate covering. And who killed the animal and who prepared the skin? The Lord God did make. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And these scattered Jews are going to find comfort in these words. This is just not some off-the-wall cult that popped up. This is Christianity. This is in the plan of God the Father. These prophets looked diligently into this salvation that they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. And they wrote it down, and it says they looked diligently into it. They longed, they looked forward to the cross. Yet it's interesting, as we read those Old Testament prophecies, they didn't understand many times what they wrote down. They couldn't. And we're going to see that in a little bit. They look forward to the cross, we look back to the cross. Actually, we're in a very interesting period of time as we think about the church age. We look back to the cross, and yet at the same time, we look forward to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ when he finally does take his place, rightfully so, and sits on the throne and rules and reigns. As these Old Testament prophets wrote, they could not understand. Let us think about a few things that they could not comprehend. Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant, reference to the coming Messiah, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted. And the Jews saw that. Amen. And extolled and be very high. Amen. And as many were astonied at thee, his visage, in other words, his looks, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. Isaiah writes this. He's going to be exalted, extolled, and at the same time, he's going to be beaten so badly more than any other human being was ever beaten. They didn't get it. Nor could they. They weren't given enough knowledge. That's why Peter says it was given to us. They didn't minister to themselves. We finally understand it. We've got the corrective lens of time to look back and to see how it could be talking about he will be extolled and exalted at the same time marred more than any man. Because they couldn't see two comings. They didn't grasp that concept. They expected Messiah to come and to reign in majesty. They did not see this delay. Consider, let us look at Isaiah 9:6, what these prophets wrote. And remember, this is what these Jews are thinking. What is going on? We're scattered and suffering. We don't understand. Let us think about the prophets. They surely didn't understand. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us, the children of Israel, and of course, extension, the world, a child is born. That's Messiah. Unto us a son is given. Amen. Happened at Bethlehem. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Has that happened yet? No. Hasn't happened yet. You notice there in the text, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Church age. 2,000 years approximately. Then the government's going to be upon his shoulder. When he comes back and rules and reigns, at the end, I understand, at the end of Daniel's 70th week, he will rule and reign for 1,000 years, then the white throne judgment and time shall be no more. But there is a gap right there in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the church age, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. They couldn't see it. This is why the disciples stood on the Mount of Olives and said, are you going to set up the kingdom? We don't get it. Christ said, just relax, wait, you'll get power from the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. We don't get it. That's right, not enough information was given. They couldn't get it. And so it is that Peter is referencing these Old Testament prophets and all that they wrote to these scattered, suffering Jewish believers saying, relax, trust me, God is in this. What they foretold is truth. It assures them that truly the Messiah that was foretold in the Old Testament was really Messiah. You scattered believers are not off the wall and deceived. Second, it helps them to understand God's displeasure with the Jewish people. Okay, now I understand better why the Jews were persecuted, why God had to leave the Jewish system and go to the church age where Jew and Gentile are now one in Christ Jesus. It helps them to understand they're not in some wrong religion, deceived. And God is now mad at them further that they've gotten themselves off the wall. It is amazing to think that the Jews missed Messiah when he has used them so greatly. Whenever they observed the feasts, Christ was in it. All of the pictures of Christ in the clothing, in the temple, in the feast, and on and on and on, and they missed him. But should we marvel? People walk outside and look at creation and they say it happened by chance. That's mind-boggling. Take a model airplane, put it in a paint shaker. How long would you have to let it shake before an airplane came out? Never. And yet we think this world happened by chance? Give me a break. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. They were moved by this Holy Spirit to write, even though they didn't understand. They wrote of glory, and yet they wrote of suffering before it ever happened. They didn't get it. They wanted to understand. It says they were searching. They just didn't get it, and they dug into the Scriptures to learn more and more. What were they looking for? First of all, they looked for searching what? Just what is this? And then number two, it says, what manner of time? So they wanted to know what it was, then they wanted to know when it was, is what they searched for. Lord God, you've moved me to write this incredible passage, and it doesn't make sense to me. He's going to be extolled and exalted. He's going to be deformed more than any other man on earth. You tell me we have a son who's going to be, the government's going to be on his shoulders. And yet we find places where he's going to be sacrificed. This makes no sense. And they started to wonder what and what manner and what time. Consider one of the prophets, Daniel 9:2. Of course, Daniel in chapter 9 will go on to write that incredible prophecy of the 70 weeks determined upon Israel. But look what he says before the Holy Spirit gives him that. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. I diligently searched. I wanted to know what in what manner. I searched, and I read Jeremiah. I understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And now Daniel's also a prophet, and he is researching and studying what is God saying. And these prophets looked into this. And these suffering Jews can benefit and understand what God was doing through these men. It says it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. And the Holy Spirit did signify. The Holy Spirit was moving them to write things they had no clue. Consider one also they didn't understand, Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Wait a minute! I thought the government was going to be upon his shoulder. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, the resurrection. I don't get it. And so they searched what and what manner of time. And we saw it before in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. That there was a gap that they could not see between the time that the son was given and the time that the government was upon his shoulder. They didn't get it. Study as they may. It's interesting as Peter writes this and he talks about these prophets diligently seeking into the truths of God. He is going to say in just a few short verses in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. The prophets desired it. They wanted to know more. Do the same thing. Hunger for the word of God. Diligently seek it. That you may grow thereby. How are they going to make it? Through the persecution? Get into the word of God and grow. Desire the word of God. Intensely crave. Earnestly desire. That you can grow. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed. That not unto themselves. They wrote it, but they didn't understand. But unto us. They did minister the things. They couldn't understand. Not enough light was given. But as time went on, and the plan of God became apparent, people could start to look back and say, oh, I see. We have got a whole lot of advantage today because of time. But if we could put ourselves back 2,000-3,000 years ago and look at what they had, we would not have understood many things. Which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which thing the angels desire to look into. The Holy Spirit has revealed these great truths to these prophets. But it wasn't for themselves. I really believe when he says us, he's referring first and foremost to the 12 apostles. And then he passes it on. But unto us they did minister the thing which are now reported unto you, you scattered believers. These prophets, they did part. Now us, the apostles, are doing part, and it's unto you, and you've got a job to do out there also. Is it not amazing that we're in the same team, if you will, with those that have gone before us and those who will be after us? God is still working it all together. Let us not take for granted we've got an integral part in what God wants us to do. The prophets didn't understand, nor could they. But it's becoming clear to us what God was doing. And so it is, too, that this gospel was preached. This truth was preached to these scattered believers with the Holy Ghost. It's okay. As those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, it is coming to us through the Holy Spirit also. You scattered believers, it's okay. God is still working. He is still in this. It is all the same. We are now an extension. I am not saying that the church has revised Israel. Please don't misunderstand me. The church is a completely distinct entity. But the principles, we are carrying the torch where the Jews have stopped for a time. Which things the angels desire to look into. Can we let this soak in? The heavenly angels, those that have not fallen, marvel at the redemption of man. Remember, those angels have access to the throne of God. They have seen God in His glory, and they have looked down on earth, and they see man rebel against that God. And with that wisdom, that knowledge, their mind is blown that we would rebel against God. And then God would send His Son to die for us. The angels, it's like they can't take their eyes off of this. Do you ever see a fire or something and you just can't stop looking? Or some other such thing that's caught your attention? You just look at it in amazement. And look and look and look. This is how the angels are. It's like they just look into it. This is beyond comprehension. Those wretched people. And Jesus Christ left His throne in glory. And the angels are in awe just looking at this. And then they marvel. When Christians sin, their mind is blown. Angels are looking into these truths. They just study it. They can't get enough of this sight. Consider Matthew Henry as he comments on this passage. The mysteries of the gospel and the methods of man's salvation are so glorious that the blessed angels earnestly desire to look into them. They are curious, accurate, and industrious in prying into them. They consider the whole scheme of man's redemption with deep attention and admiration, particularly the points the apostle had been discoursing of so far, what Peter's talked about. The angels are marveling as they look down here upon this. And I want us to put this together. Let us look back in our verses. Go back to verse 10, and I want you to see a point here. Of which salvation, underline it, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Verse 11, what did those prophets do? Verse 11, searching. So the prophets inquired and searched diligently. In verse 11, they searched what and what manner of time. And drop down to the very end of verse 12, which things the angels desire to look into. The point I want you to see is these holy men of God, men that God deemed to be so worthy that He would put His mighty hand upon them through the Spirit to write truth. These good men, and they couldn't get enough. Tell me more. I want to search diligently. And then he says, and the angels, those that have the access to the throne of God, they marvel. They want to look into this. So you've got holy men, prophets, they search into this gospel and the truths of God. And the angels marvel and they search. And we have Christians that won't even show up for church. We have the unsaved who mock the things of God. Folks, do we search or do we take it for granted? If we would truly grasp that we were on our way to an eternal hell forever and ever and ever, and God sent His Son and the angels' minds are blown and people reject it, and Christians take it for granted. They diligently searched, and the angels can't stop wondering. We have Christians that don't read the Bible. And we have Christians that don't take seriously this life. The angels must wonder, why aren't you telling everyone? Instead, we're so caught up with the things of this world. Wouldn't you think these holy men were so holy that God used them? I mean, they don't need to know anymore. And these angels, don't you get your fill of it? I mean, how can you just talk about the Bible all the time? Don't you get tired of it? No. And you know what? The more you study and the more you get closer to God, the more you want. Tell me more. Tell me the old, old story that started back in Genesis with God making coats of skins. And then in the fullness of time, Christ came and died for the ungodly. And we still look back
to that and marvel, or we should. Imagine whoever you determine to be the worst mass murderer, convicted and then fully pardoned. That's us, and the angels marvel that these vile sinners God has pardoned. Let us make sure that we're ever reviewing ourselves to make sure that we appreciate what God has done for us. Let us be like those prophets and desire diligently to look into it, and like those angels. Lord God, let me not take this for granted. This morning, we study Peter, and he is talking to born-again believers. But I want to take a moment now and talk to people that maybe don't know Christ as their Savior. Let us never take for granted that maybe some don't know the plan of salvation. Let this hand represent every person that's ever come on this earth. You, me, everybody that's ever been born. Let that billfold represent sin. Every person that comes into this earth has sin on them because we're just sinful by nature. It was given to us by our parents. Adam and Eve sinned, therefore everybody else is. The whole race has fallen. And so it is. God says, I love the sinner, I hate the sin. And there's nothing that we can do to get rid of that sin. We can join a church, walk an aisle, give money, be water baptized, communion. There is nothing in our power. You could join every church in town. It won't get you a second in heaven. How do you go to heaven? It's not of good works. Lest any man should boast, you turn over a new leaf, you have an upside down leaf. And so it is that God saw our helpless condition. And if we die with this on us, we're going to hell. And he is unwilling that any should perish. So he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on that cross, he took your sin and my sin. He paid the debt in full. And he rose again the third day. God accepted the payment. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I believe that. I see it. I am a sinner. God hates the sin, but he loves me. And there's nothing in my strength that I can do to get rid of that sin. I have to realize it's nothing in me. It's everything that Jesus did. He came down and he paid it in full. When he was on that cross, it was paid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, I believe that, that is what gets me to heaven. I believe Jesus only believes, should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.